As we turn to this Psalm 16 that we have just read together, we take note of the heading of the psalm. The heading of that psalm is Michtam of David. And it is a most interesting title that is given to it. Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, it gives you the meaning of that word. The meaning of that word is given as golden. So as we turn to the psalm, there is something here then that is very precious. This is a golden psalm, and therefore there is that which is very precious to be found within it. We know that all of the word of God is precious, but as we turn here to this psalm, the Lord has given to us this title, and it is the golden psalm. So therefore we can look within it and expect to find very easily that which is going to be precious to us. Now, the psalm is prophetical in that it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can be absolutely sure that Christ is in the psalm, that the psalm is bringing our thoughts to bear on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be absolutely sure of that. Because when Peter was preaching in Acts in the chapter 2, we can see that he referred to this particular psalm. And he quoted from this psalm, and especially from the first 8 on down to the end of the psalm. And as he was quoting from this psalm and referring to this psalm, he says, David speaketh concerning him, that is Christ. And so Peter draws our attention to this, that here is a psalm that is prophetical. Here is a psalm that has for its contents, it has for its substance, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we can say, here is a precious psalm. Here indeed is a golden psalm, because it has Christ as its content. But as we look at the psalm here, we find that it also sets before us something that is very precious. And that is the blessed satisfaction that the redeemed ones, those that are in union with the Lord, the blessed satisfaction that they have with their portion, with their particular lot. They are satisfied with what they have. In the verse 5, it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot, the lines are fallen on to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And here the psalmist is expressing his own testimony, that he is absolutely satisfied with his own lot, with the portion that he has. Of course, the scripture would have us to know and to enjoy the satisfaction and the contentment that we have in the Lord. Hebrews 13 and 5, we have that exhortation, be content with such things as you have. Paul again speaking to the church at Philippi, the chapter 4, the verse 11, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. Contentment with what we have. Satisfaction with our lot. This is something that is very precious to us. If a person has contentment, then he has something that is very precious. And so the psalmist is drawing our attention here to what he has, that he's content with that. And I want to speak today about our satisfaction with our portion. And he tells us here in the verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. That was the testimony of the psalmist David. Of course, that is the testimony and can be the testimony, ought to be the spoken testimony of every redeemed one, of every child of God. The portion of mine inheritance. As we look at the subject here in these verses, we could say this, believer, that our portion, our inheritance, is the Lord. It is not what we have in this life by way of possessions. It is the Lord himself. David's inheritance was not in what he had in this world. Now we know that the psalmist David, the King David, we know that he was a very great person in many ways. He was great in position and in power. He was a mighty king. David was such a mighty king that none of his enemies could stand against him. He had victories over them all. He destroyed all of his enemies, the Philistines and the Moabites and the Edomites and the Amalekites and the Ammonites. They couldn't stand against David. He was such a mighty king. He had such great power in his day. And then, of course, he was mighty and great in wealth. And he had servants and he had prestige and he had honor and he had respect and he had authority. All of this David had. But David did not regard all of this as his greatest portion. He looked away from all of this and he said, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord, he is my portion. I am satisfied with what I have in the Lord. He is the portion of mine inheritance." Now, that is altogether different from the attitude of the world. Their eyes are on what they possess here and now. Their houses, their car, or money, their friends, whatever. Now, of course, all of these things are of value. We need to have a house. We need to have a roof over our heads. We need a car. The majority of people need to have a car. Need to have some degree of wealth, of money, to buy food and clothing and whatever. So all of these things, of course, have value in themselves. But as far as they go, they have not the greatest of value for the child of God. We have a greater portion than our earthly possessions. And that portion that is ours is, as David says, it is the Lord himself. Dear child of God, believer today, you may not have all that you would like to have in this world. But look at what you do have. You have Christ as your Savior. You have his love. You have forgiveness of sins. You have peace with God. You have the unfailing promises of God. You have the presence of the Lord. You have the provisions of the Lord. You have an eternal home in heaven. All of this you have because you have God as your inheritance. As we go back into the Old Testament, we go there to Numbers and to the chapter 18 of Numbers. And in the first 20 there, we're reading here of Aaron. Aaron, of course, the representative of the tribe of Levi. And the Lord is talking here to what he is doing for Aaron and for the tribe of Levi. In the first 20 we read the Lord saying here to them, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part with them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel." The Lord was dealing differently with the tribe of Levi. All of the other tribes had been given their land, and that land had been marked out. Their lines had been drawn out. But the Lord is saying to Aaron here, and to the Levites, "I'm going to deal differently with you. I'm going to meet all of your needs in a different manner. You're not to be looking to the land for your portion, for your inheritance." He said, "I am thy part and thine inheritance." And that's exactly what we have with the Lord. The Lord looks upon his people, his redeemed people, and he says, "You needn't be looking for satisfaction in the world. I am your satisfaction. I am your portion. I am thine inheritance." If we look at this again, of course, we can see that this is a two-way relationship. We can say today, "The Lord is my portion. But the Lord looks on his redeemed people and he says that his redeemed people are his portion. God calls us his redeemed people, his inheritance. In Deuteronomy 32 in the verses 8 and 9 there, we read in that little portion of scripture, for the Lord's portion, and that's the very same Hebrew word that is elsewhere translated inheritance. For the Lord's portion is his people. Again, the Psalm 33 and 12, we are the people he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We are his portion. The Lord looks upon us, those that he has by his mercy and grace redeemed. He has brought us into his family. And the Lord looks at his own redeemed people and he says to us today, thou art my portion. Thou art valuable to me, precious to me. And of course, the child of God looks to the Lord and says, the Lord, he is my portion. Just like the bride in the Song of Solomon, speaking of her beloved, the bride, of course, again, the picture of the church, the redeemed, and her beloved, the picture of Christ. And speaking to her beloved, she says, for I am his and he is mine. Here is our union with the Lord. We have Christ today. We mightn't have everything that we would like to have in this world, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that we need is found in him. We have Christ, people, and what need we more? But again, we can see when we look at our inheritance, what does it mean when we say the Lord is our inheritance? What does it mean? Well, it means that all that he is, all of his glorious attributes are for us. They're at our disposal. They are for our benefit. That all that he is for us. We think of the wondrous attributes of the Lord. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Here is the Lord set before us in all of his infinite attributes. And they're all for us. They're for our benefit. He is our portion. He is infinitely wise. He is infinitely wise, and he gives to us of that wisdom. We have the benefit of his wisdom. He bestows his wisdom upon us. James 1 and the first 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. Again, we think of the power of God. God's power is absolute. It is infinite. And God makes his power to be available to us. What a wondrous thing it is when we can say, the Lord is my portion. I have the benefit of his wisdom. If I lack wisdom, I look to the Lord. I ask the Lord. He gives me of his wisdom. If I need power, I look to the Lord. And he gives to me his power. Isaiah 40 in the verse 29. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. When we're low and when we're weary and when we're downcast and when we feel ourselves to be weakest, then we look to the Lord and we cry unto God, and God gives us power and God gives us the needed strength, that strength that we need for that particular occasion. God is a holy God. He is absolutely holy. There is no shadow of darkness in him. And yet, my friend, it is God's desire that his people should be like him, that his people should be holy. How can this be? Well, by the working of the Holy Spirit in us, he sanctifies us, makes us day by day to grow in grace and in holiness. Ephesians 4 and 24, we read, "And that you put on the new man," the new nature that is, "which after God is created in righteousness and through holiness." After God, that little phrase, after God, that is, by his power, or according to his will, or after his likeness. And so God, who is infinite in all of his attributes, and we could go through them all and see how God then grants to us the benefits of all that he is, all that God is for us, his faithfulness, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his grace. We as his children, who are joint heirs with Christ, we have all of this because of our union with Christ. We are complete in Christ. That's what we read in Colossians 2. We are complete in Christ. The word means filled to the full. We have need of nothing because he is the portion of our inheritance. And that union is based on Christ's atoning work, his cross work, by which we are redeemed, by which we are made joint heirs with Christ. When we go on further into Hebrews there, we look at Hebrews and the chapter 9, the first 15. We have mention made here at the end of the first 15 of our inheritance, our eternal inheritance. Now, the subject here in the first 14 and the first 15, let us just read those verses. The first 14, Hebrews 9, we read there, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." The subject in these two verses here is the atoning death of Christ. It brings us to his death. It's speaking of his death here. It's speaking here of the shedding of his precious blood in the first 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ? So the subject in these verses here is the atoning work of Christ. It is the precious blood that Christ shed on Calvary, that which cleanses us from sin. Now look what it says at the beginning of the first 15. "And for this cause," and for this cause, because of his atoning work, because of the power of his blood to cleanse, there is secured for us, believer, the forgiveness of sin and an eternal inheritance. Our eternal inheritance is ours because of the atoning work of Christ. What we have today by way of our portion in Christ is ours because of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made the children of God. We are adopted into God's family. We are made joint heirs with Christ on the basis of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And note this, people, it is all of God's grace. It is God's gift. We note the word in that verse 15, received. Here is something that we received. It is not merited. We didn't pay for it in any way, but it was freely given and we received it. John chapter 1, verse 12, we read there of being brought into the family of God, being made the children of the Lord. In that verse 12 of John, the chapter 1, we read, "And as many as received him," as many as received him, that's Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God." The sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. We are brought into the family of God, and this is our inheritance, because we are the children of the Lord. Brought into the family of God on the basis of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is then, from the manward viewpoint. When we received Christ by faith, we became the children of God, brought into his family and granted our inheritance. Question, of course, that flows naturally from this is, have you that inheritance? Have you Christ as your Savior? That's the question. There's a question for each one of us. Are we in the family of God? Tell me, are you in the family of the Lord? Have you got this inheritance? But then we look again and we see, when we think of our inheritance, this is our inheritance forever. It is forever. It is in this life that we enjoy it. Look at the first five and the first six, and you'll notice there that all of the verbs are in the present tense. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Present tense. Here is something that we enjoy now. Our inheritance in the Lord. In the Psalm 142, the first five, the psalmist David says there, I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Here's something that we don't have to wait for. Here's something that we don't have to wait until we arrive in glory. Our inheritance is now. We enjoy the Lord now. We enjoy everything that we have in the Lord. Every blessing is ours to be enjoyed now. Dear child of God, are you enjoying the Lord today? Are you looking to the Lord for your contentment? Are you looking to the Lord to meet all of your needs? Are you content today with all that you have in Christ? But then we see also here that when we come to die, here is our confidence. The psalmist is speaking here, and he says in the verse 9, Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. So he's talking here about his death. He's talking here about when his flesh, when his body will be put down into what is often called Mother Earth. He's talking here about that sure hope that he has of the resurrection, that blessed sure hope that his body will be raised again. Raised again on that wondrous resurrection day, that resurrection morn that is to come. He's talking here, he's looking here at his dying. But of course, although his body will be put into the ground, he is looking for that day when he will go home to be with the Lord. Paul says to his absent from the body, is present with the Lord. And while the body waits that resurrection morning in the ground, of course the soul is with the Lord, rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And so here's an inheritance that death doesn't rob us of. Death cannot take away our portion that is found in Christ. We read there over in Romans in the chapter 8 and those verses 38 and 39 that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the Lord, separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. So here is our inheritance. We enjoy the Lord now. Everything that we have need of, we have it in the Lord. Here is our inheritance. It won't be lost in death, but we rejoice in death. In the inheritance that is ours in the Lord. But then we find again in the verse 11, here is our inheritance that is beyond death. Verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Look at the terms. Fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Now, we can't really apply that to this life in the fullest sense, because in this life we can know sadness, we can know worry and anxiety and loss and disappointment and discouragement, although Christ sustains us in all of this. We have Christ always sustaining us in the times that are difficult. But we cannot really say that in this life we have joy in the absolute sense, that we have pleasures forevermore. These are terms here that relate to the glory, that relate to the joy of heaven. This is our inheritance. It is the glory land. Over in 1 Peter and in the chapter 1, the first 4, we're reading about our eternal inheritance. We enjoy the Lord in life. We enjoy the Lord in death. And we enjoy the Lord for all eternity. In heaven we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is what the Peter tells us. That is our inheritance. In the Psalm 73, verse 26 there, again the psalmist is speaking about our portion, about our inheritance. And he says in that psalm, in that verse, God is my portion forever. That Psalm 73, the first 26 again, bringing to us our portion, what we have in the Lord. And it is forever, forever with the Lord. What more do we need? There's a hymn that was penned many, many years ago. It was really penned as a poem. And then I understand music was put to it. But it went something like this, or some of the verses said, in the heart of London City, mid the dwelling of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered, I have Christ, what need I more? By a sick and dying woman stretched upon a garret floor, having not one earthly comfort, I have Christ, what need I more? Look away from earth's attractions, all earth's joys will soon be o'er. Rest not till your heart exclaimeth, I have Christ, what need I more? People, dear child of God, here is our portion today. We have Christ. Everything that we have need of, found in him. All of the divine attributes that are his, are for us and for our benefits. What need we more? When we come to die, we have Christ. What need we more? When we're in the glory land, we have the enjoyment of Christ and everything that he has purchased for us by means of his atoning work. What need we more? But just a word in closing to the unsaved. My dear unsaved friend, this is not your inheritance. What we've been speaking of today is for the believer. It is not the inheritance of those who reject Christ as their Savior. Over in 1 Corinthians and in the chapter 6, in the first 9, we read, know ye not that the unrighteous, that's the term God gives for the unsaved, those who live without the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You cannot in your sin have this inheritance that we have been speaking of. Paul is writing here to the believers in the church at Corinth. He reminds them of those awful sins that some of them were engaged in. He gives a list in the first 9, the first 10, of those who will not be found in heaven. And then in the first 11, he says, and such were some of you. He's reminding the believers of what they once were. They were sinners, they were unrighteous. But oh, we praise God that he says, but ye are washed, and ye are sanctified, and ye are justified. The Lord has done a great work of grace in their hearts, in their lives. Once they were sinners defiled by sin. Now they're sinners saved by grace, and they have now a great inheritance. And praise God today, dear unsaved one. Though you're found yet in your sin, it can be for you as it was with these Corinthians. You can be washed. You can be sanctified. And you can be justified. How? By means of the atoning work of Christ. How can we be washed from our sins? By the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, unsaved in your sin, you need cleansing from sin. You cannot enter into the glory land in your sin. Needs to be cleansed away. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has made provision for that on Calvary when he shed his precious blood. You can be cleansed from your sin. You look at your own heart today and you know that is far from being called holy. There's sin there, depravity, defilement. It's black. You might look upon yourself and say, I'm just a great big lump of sin. How can I ever be holy? My friend, if you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, receive cleansing from your sin, then God, in his mercy and his grace, will work within your heart, God the Holy Ghost, doing that work of grace in your heart whereby you are renewed day by day and made holy or day by day, a closer walk with God day by day. And you can be justified. What does it mean? It means to be right with God and ready for heaven. All of this is found in Christ. And if you will come as a sinner today to Christ, coming in repentance and putting your trust in Christ, calling upon the Lord to save you, he will save you. He will justify you. He will cleanse you. He'll make you ready for heaven. My friend, you'll enjoy the inheritance that he has for the people of God. You'll be able to say with the psalmist, with every child of God here today, the Lord, he is my portion. He is the portion of mine inheritance. All that I ever need is to be found in him. May the Lord be pleased to apply his word, that it might be a blessing to our souls, that it might be used of God in our walk with him and in our service for him. We'll bow in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow again before thee. We thank thee and praise thee, Lord, for what we have in Christ. For each one in the meeting who can say of a truth that the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Oh, Lord, we're satisfied with all that we have in Christ. We have need of nothing. We have for us at our disposal even the very attributes of God given to us by grace by the Lord as we need them. Lord, that thou would have us today to know the sense of the fullness of the privileges that are ours as the children of God and as the joint heirs with Christ. Pray for the unsaved, that thou in thy mercy and grace would have a word to be applied by the Spirit of God that will be an awakening word. Let them see, Lord, that they cannot be found in the glory land, they cannot be found in heaven if they will not part from their sin and receive Christ to be their Savior. Lord, we look to thee and pray that thou would save the unsaved. Show them the awful eternity that lies before them among the lost and the doomed and the damned in hell. Open their eyes, Lord, we pray thee. Let them see Christ as the only Savior for sinners. Give them grace to trust thee, Lord, even this day. Answer prayer. Now, Lord, as we leave this thine house, we pray that thou would have us to go with and in the blessing of the triune God. For we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake and for his honor and for his glory. Amen and amen.